Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Gimel. We are holding on the top of Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We are on the third line of Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Hahu Dekanu Minei. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall all return home safely, as well as by Moshe Kupiecki in honor of Rabbi Jonah Kupiecki's 90th birthday. Should continue to celebrate many more in good health. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first off, we're going to finish up the various shitos of Shmuel when it comes to a shchiv mira, and when there are certain cases where we're not sure it's a matnas shchiv mira or a matnas bari, then the Gemara is going to discuss if you use a lashon of b'chayim u'b'maves. So there's machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. What does that mean when you give a matnas shchiv mira, but you use a lashon b'chayim u'b'maves? Do you mean to give it mechayim, or do you mean to give it li'achar misa? Because either way, you said something that is against what you mean. So we're gonna have machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, about that. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about if we're not sure whether the giver was a shchiv mira at the time of the matana. We know that there was a matana. We know that there's a shtar that certifies that there was a matana, but we do not know whether the person giving the matana was a shchiv mira or a bari at the time of the matana. And the guy is healthy now. So now if it was a matnas shchiv mira, he should get it all back. If it was a matnas bari, he doesn't get any of it all back. Then the Gemara discusses another case of a suffik, whether something had the status of a matnas shchiv mira or not. And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion, to a machlokas tanoim, about whether we follow chazaka dahashta. And we're going to have two cases where that machlokas tanoim of whether we follow chazaka dahashta, that we say what is must have always been, whether whether we apply such a principle of chazaka dahashta. So let's begin again. We are on Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the third line of the page. So says the Gemara, who dekanumine? There was a shchiv mira that wrote a shtar, and he gave it to the makabel, and he even made a kinyan on it. And then when he got better, he had a refuah, he wanted to back out on it. So also kamed Rav Huna, they came to Rav Huna. Amr ma'i avalach. Rav Huna said, what do you want me to do? Delo knis kedemaknu inchi. You aren't makna the way a shchiv mira normally is makna to someone. If you would have been makna the way a shchiv mira is normally makna to someone, so then you could back out on it as soon as you get better. But now that you did something unusual and you made a kinyan sudar in addition to writing shtar and the mesira, and in such a case, Shmuel's going to be moda that it has a din of a matnas bari, and if it has a din of a matnas bari, there's no going back on that on a matnas bari, even to keep the nechasim that were yours the whole time. Meaning, even though you're not being motzi miyad anybody, so I'm sorry, but that has a din of a matnas bari, not a matnas shchiv mira. So that is the final din that the Gemara tells us about some type of a matna shchiv mira that was done in an unusual way. So the Rashbam points out that there are five halachos that Shmuel taught us about a matna shchiv mira. Halacha number one is that a matna shchiv mira, when you're giving it all over, but you also wrote a kinyan in the shtar, and you were never mezaka the shtar to the person, so he's not mekabel, the mekabel is not kona, even if the nosin dies. Because we're choshesh that he only wanted the kinyan to be chal with the shtar, and the shtar cannot be effectuated la chamisa. He never gave the shtar while he was alive. Second halacha Shmuel taught us, if you're miyap the koach of the makabel by writing a shtar, or by through a tzava'o, where you tell them to write a shtar, and you write v'kanina minei mosif al matanta da, you use a lashon that I want a kinyan in addition to the regular matana, then the makabel is going to be kona in the case where the fellow dies. And if the fellow doesn't die, then the mekabel is not going to be kona. Case number three was the shchiv mira who said kismu tnu mana leploni, and he dies, so then we're kosher nosim lachar misa, but only if he was miapes kocha, only if you made it clear that he wants to give extra koach to the recipient. And then the fourth case was if he wrote a shtar and was mezaka the shtar to give it to the fellow as a raya, and then he gave it to somebody else, meaning he wrote a shtar and gave it to person A, and then later that day wrote a shtar and gave it to person B. So the second one is going to be Kona when the Nosein dies. And then the final case was he writes a shtar and he is mezakit and he does a kinyan as well. So then the first guy is going to be Kona and you can't be chozer from that like it has a regular din, like a matnas bari. So that is going to be, those are the five dinim that the Rashbam summarizes that we learned from yesterday's daf, all relating to Shmuel's approach to these various cases of matna shchiv mirah. Now a new sugya. Ahima tanta. There was a matna shchiv mirah b'miktsas. Remember we discussed yesterday matna shchiv mirah b'miktsas, that it's like a matna shchiv mirah, but you're not giving everything away. You're keeping some things for yourself. So davakas ba, where in the lashon the shtar it says b'chayim u'b'maves, that he uses such a lashon b'chayim u'b'maves. So it's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What does he mean by that? Rav amar harei k'matna shchiv mirah, meaning he means to give it like a matna shchiv mirah. It's going to be chali achar misa, and if he gets better, then the kinyan is void. He gets it back. Ushmol amar harei k'matnas bari. No, this is like a regular healthy person giving a matana, and there's no backing out of it. And l'chora, each one is going to have a problem because both lashonos were used. It says b'chayim u'b'maves. So b'maves would indicate matnas shchiv mirah. B'chayim would indicate matnas bari. So the Gemara explains how each one is going to explain the language. Rav amar harei k'matnas shchiv mirah midichsiv b'maves. Rav says, well, it's got to be matnas shchiv mirah because he wrote b'maves. So he's saying that he wants it to be chal the achar misa. What's he going to do about the fact that he also wrote b'chayim? V'hai d'ksiv b'chayim, and that which he says b'chayim does not mean that the matana should be chal while he's alive. No, simen b'alma d'chayi. He's saying something positive. He's saying that he should be so lucky that he should live and he shouldn't die from the illness from which he's suffering right now, because al tiftach pelas satan, you don't want to talk about death and make it like a foregone conclusion that you're going to die. So you always want to be hopeful, you always want to be positive, and therefore he says b'chayim, because he wants to try to be a little more cheerful about his prospects. Ushmol, I mean, that's it's healthy for a person. Helps a person fight an illness when a person keeps a positive attitude. So he's trying to keep a positive attitude. So he's saying b'chayim. Ushmol amar harei k'matnas bari. Shmuel says that it has a din like a matnas bari, and he cannot be chozer from it. Midichsiv ba, because it says in the shtar b'chayim mechayim ka'amar. So we assume that he means that he's makneit mechayim. V'haydichsivu b'mavus. Why would he write b'mavus if it has nothing to do with him dying? So it's not because he wants it to be chal de'achar misa. What he's trying to say is that this matana is going to outlast us, meaning this is such a permanent matana that long after we're all gone, this matana is still going to be your matana. So that's all he was trying to tell him. He wasn't trying to say that it should be chal de'achar misa. He's trying to say that it will remain in effect forever and ever. So amin ardai hilchsa kavase derav, that we paskan like Rav, that if you say b'chayim u'b'mavis, it has a din of a matna shchiv mirah, and the b'chayim is just a way of being a little more cheerful about the prognosis. Amar Rava v'iksiv ba mechayim kana. Rava says, if he writes in the Shtar Matana, mechayim u'b'mavis, then your kona, you cannot be chozer, it has a din of a matnas bari. We don't pasken like Rava. We hope that it has the name of a matna shchivra, not a matna zbari. So Rav Ashi said to Meimar, you're telling me that we don't pasken like Rava? Pshita, of course we don't pasken like Rava. What did Rava say any different than the exact case that Rav and Shmuel just argued about? Right? Rav and Shmuel just argued about a case where he said, b'chayimu b'maves. Rav said, what we really pay attention to is the b'maves. B'chayim is just a cheerful addition to it. But really, b'maves, you mean a matna shchiv mirah. We paskind like Rav. And now Rava tells me that the real word we pay attention to is mechayim and not b'mavis. So obviously we don't paskin like Rava. Once we paskin like Rav, why do you need to tell me that we don't paskin like Rava? So says Mar, no, Rava's not talking about the same exact lashon that Rav and Shmuel were arguing about. Rav and Shmuel were arguing about a case where he said bechayim u'b'mavis. Mal detema mechayim Modi Rav, I might have thought that since Rava changed it from Bichayim to Mechayim, maybe Rav is going to be Moda, that you mean to say that the Matana should be Chal Mechayim while I'm still alive, and then it should should be ongoing, even the Achar Misa. And that's different than Bichayim Uba Maves. So Kamash Mulan, that's what Amemar wants to tell me, that even though Rava thinks he came up with this Chap, that if you say Mechayim instead of Bichayim, that's going to change the picture. It in fact does not change the picture at all. And we still paskin like what Rav said, that the Lashon of Chayim was just a cheerful Lashon, but the Lashon of Maves was what we're actually focused on. That's what we're actually assuming is the nature of this Shtar, that it has a din of Matnashchiv Mira, and therefore if the guy gets better, the whole thing is invalidated. So the Gemara brings a story where this played out. Someone got such a matnas shchivmirah where it said b'chayim u'b'maves, and they came to Rav Nachman and apparently the giver of that matana got better and he wanted his money back, he wanted his stuff back. The recipient said, what are you talking about? It's a matnas bari. It says right here, b'chayim, so you're giving it as a matnas bari. So they asked Rav Nachman the shayla. Now, if you're going to paskin like Rav, you're going to say that it's a matnas shchivmira and you got to give it all back. If you're going to paskin like Shmuel, it's a matnas bari and he gets to keep it. And they were in Nardai. So Shadri l'kamed Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba l'shum tamya. So Rav Nachman didn't paskin. He sent him to Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba in a place called Shum Tamya. So Amar Rav Nachman said, you know why I sent the shayla to Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba and I didn't paskin? Rav Nachman was a great expert in Dinim Amnus. He was fully capable of paskining this shayla. He said, you know why I didn't? Because Hacha Asra de Shmuel. We're in Arda right now. Shmuel is the Marada Asra in Arda. Hechi Navid Kavase Drav. So how can I paskin like the Shita of Rav? But I can't paskin like Shmuel because we don't paskin like Shmuel. We paskin like Rav. But I thought it would be a chutzpah that I'm in Shmuel's makom, and I'm in a paskin like Rav. So it's not nice to paskin against the Marada Asra in his very location. So you're not supposed to do that. Okay, Ha'uda Asayil Kamei Derava. So there's a story of a woman who wrote and gave a shtar that said Mechayim Uba Maves, and then she got better and she came to Rava and she wanted to get back whatever she had given over as a matana. But again, this was a case where it was Mechayim Uba Maves, which was Rava's own twist, that if you say Mechayim, that maybe even Rav would be Moda. We said we don't paskin like that, but that's what Rava thought. So Avad La Rava Kishmate, Rava paskin like his own Shita, that since he said Mechayim Uba Maves, we assume that it's that Rava assumed that you want it to be Chal already now. Mechayim has the din of a matnas bari, not a matnas shchivmira, and this woman cannot get her stuff back. It's gone forever. So have a katar delay. The woman was bothering Rava, saying, you paskined incorrectly. It's not true. So Amrle Rav Papa Berei Rav Chanan Safrei Zil Ksovla. So he said to Rav Papa Berei Rav Chanan, his sofer, he was the scribe in Rava's Beis Din. So he said, go write her a shtar that says that she's correct, la halacha, that she's able to be chozer on the matana and get her stuff back. And then uksov ba, add into the lashon of the shtar the lashon of the Mishnah Maseches Ba Metzia Daf Ayin Hey, where it talks about someone who hires workers and they back out of the arrangement. So if there's no one else that you could hire in their place, sochar lehen omitan, hire other people and they're going to have to pay for that, or fool them, trick them into thinking that you're going to pay them whatever their new demands are. Right in the middle of their term of employment, they say we want double the salary. So you're allowed to lie to them. Tell them, yeah, I'll give you double the salary. Just finish the job. And then they'll finish the job. And you'll give them exactly the salary that was originally agreed upon because you don't have any other option. So you can be mata them. So add that into the lashon of the shtar. So Amra litba. So and why was he doing that? So the Rashbam explains, what's that doing in the shtar? It was a simon that anyone who reads that shtar will know that he was just trying to trick her with this shtar. He was giving her a shtar that says, yeah, you win. Oh, and by the way, there's a mishnah that says you're allowed to lie to people in order to get them off your back. So everyone will realize that he was just lying to her to get her off his back. So that was the explanation. Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, that it wasn't about that mishnah per se. Rav was just telling the sofer to write Dvarim Bialma, you know, just write stam things that have no relevance to the shtar, into the shtar, so that anyone who looks at the shtar will say, this is just messed up, this doesn't make any sense, how can we trust this shtar? Some of the, there are random ramblings in the shtar. So what are the random ramblings of Rava? Whatever Mishnah, he was learning, whatever he was up to, so he happened to be holding Bamatziyayin Hei in his own learning, so that's what he happened to write into the shtar, but it wasn't about a remes from the words of that particular Mishnah, it just happens to be where he was holding and learning. So that's going to be what he added to the shtar. Either way, it was very clear that what he was doing over here was trying to write her a shtar that would make her feel like she won, even though she didn't win, right? Meaning even though the shtar will be useless to her, and it was indicated as such in the shtar. The woman realized, she was clever enough to realize what was going on. Amra litba arbe. So she gave a klala to Rava that his boat should sink in the sea. And atuya kamatisli, and she said, "You think you could just fool me like that?" So I'm shinu the money to Rava b'maya. Since she said that his boat should sink in the sea, they wanted to be mekayim the klala with something less threatening. So they took Rava's clothing and they soaked it in water, hoping that that would be a kiyum of the klala, and therefore he won't actually lose a major asset like his boat in the sea. Didn't help. His boat sank because the woman's klala was chal, and the Gemara Megillah tells us, Taf Tezvav, Al Teikilas Hedyot Kalabe Enecha. We don't know that this woman was a special woman or a tzadekes or anything like that. Even if it was just a regular, simple person, Kilas Hedyot, we have to take that seriously as well, that it has some sort of impact. The Sefer Achinuch writes in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph that the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to be Makalal in Echad Mi Yisrael, Bein Ish, Bein Isha. And even though we don't have the koach to know how such things work and how does my dibor affect you in any way, but we know that people are very worried about this. So when someone curses them, that something terrible should happen to them. Everyone, it's universal in humanity to take offense to that and to be nervous about it. To be nervous that that something like that is going to happen. It's in all of humanity. It's not just the Jewish people. So apparently there is some sort of concept that a word can actually hurt me, right? You know, sticks and stones can break my bones. Words can really hurt me, right? They can really have an impact. And he says, since we know that that's a thing, so the mishrashe mitzvah of not cursing people is that you're not allowed to be mazik somebody else, and this is a form of hezek. He quotes the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches, the Sefer Achinuch does, of bris krusa l'sfasayim, that the koach hadibur of a person has a capacity to make an impact. And then the Sefer HaChinuch says, but the Rambam seems not to say that way. Because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos writes that the reason for the Yisr to curse someone is because it just gets the guy angry. Meaning it's not because it doesn't have any impact on his life. Other than, you know, it's like a nos tavarim. You're saying mean things to a person. So just like you're not allowed to say to a person, you're stupid and you're ugly and you're this and you're that, and it's going to make him upset. So when you curse him that this terrible thing should happen to you, it's going to make him upset. The Chinuch writes that it sounds from the Rambam that nothing actually happens. It's just the Torah's telling you to be nice and not to say mean things. So he says, V'kol divrei rabbeinu nekabel, he says, look, I agree with everything the Rambam says, but I just think there's more to it, meaning it's true, it's hurtful, and people will want to take nekama, and they're not going to be happy about it, but I think there's more here. I think that the koach hadibur can really do something. V'yipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim, Unklos says, l'ruach mimalala. Nishmas Chaim is ruach mimalala, is the ability to formulate words. So we have the capacity to do something with our words. And he says, it's a davar muforsum yadua among those who are yodei das and mevinei mada, and therefore the Rambam is not giving a full picture over here. So in the Tshuvas Yagel Yaakov, he points out, he asks on the Chinuch, that where the Chinuch understands that the Rambam thinks that it's just stama benam lechaver, but it's not that you're actually doing any damage from our sugya. Meaning over here, it's clear in our sugya that Rava took this seriously enough that he thought something was going to happen, and therefore he takes the clothing and he soaks it in water, assuming that that should be the fulfillment of the klala. The Achronim also ask in the Sefer Yafal Lev, he asks from the Sefer Chasidim, where he says that there were Chachamim, there were Yoshmu Ba, and someone asked them, why if a son is Makeh as Aviv after he dies, he's Pater, but if he's Mekalel as Aviv, he's going to be Chayiv, and if the father dies and he makes a Chabura and Dam is Yotzei, why isn't he Chayiv? Why is that any different than the Bizui that he suffers when you're Mekalel him? Meaning, if I assume that way, if you strike a father after he dies and he bleeds, that's bizyonos. So, and I assume the only reason you're chayiv for being makalalov is because of the bizyonos that he suffers. So why are you only going to be chayiv for makalalov lachamoso and not for maka aviv lachamoso? So he says, because it's not about the bizyonos. When you're makalal, it's not about the bizyonos. It's about the damage. And you can actually do damage to be makalal lachamoso as well, but you can't do any damage to a physical body once the physical body is dead. So in Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemed, Maseches Brachos points out the nafkamina between the Rambam and the Chinuch is if a person is mekalel es chavero without the chavero knowing about the klala at all, where he doesn't suffer any bizyonos, he doesn't hear about it. I mean, you go into a room all by yourself, you lock the door, soundproof room, and you start being mekalel the other person. Is that a good thing to do? No. But what kind of violation is that? Is that a violation ben adam lechavero, or is it a violation ben adam laatzmo? I mean, it's just not bad midos. It just shows that a person is not a good person if that's what he's such a negative person. That's what he spends his time thinking about and talking about. So you're hurting yourself much more than you're hurting, and you're not hurting the other person at all. Whereas according to the Chinuch, you are hurting the other person, because by being Mekalel another person, you're actually hurting the other person. There's a Chubas Rashba like this, where the Rashba writes, there are countless Mamari Chazal that seem to indicate that words have the ability to actually affect somebody, even though we don't have any explanation. The Rambam, of course, being the ultimate rationalist, says what you'd expect that the Rambam would say. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a piece in Emes Yaakov al Torah where he thinks that a lot of the rationalist approaches of the Rambam are against Gemaras. I mean, the Rambam says there's no such thing as Shadim. There are Shadim all over the Gemaras, right? Meaning So how do we deal with that? So Rabbi Yaakov suggests that even the Rambam would agree that there used to be such spiritual forces, because there used to be such very strong spiritual forces for good. There used to be such a thing as Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. So klape that, Zelu Mazeh, there was a lot of negative spiritual forces in the world, and maybe those could be harnessed. But maybe once there's no longer Nevuah and there's no longer Ruach HaKodesh, so Zelu Mazeh, the Kochos HaTumah, so to speak, don't have the same capacity. But a nafkamina would be, what about for the good, right? Meaning, what about when you give a bracha, when you say something, right? So presumably that does have some sort of, is it, meaning, does the Rambam hold that when I give someone a bracha, it's just a good way to cheer them up, but it doesn't actually have any impact? Or do you say that no, that actually has some sort of impact? So if a bracha is understood as a tefillah, the Rambam agrees, tefillah work, right? Meaning a tefillah, of course. That's what we talked about, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So tefillah is going to work. Okay, so what to talk about? So it says the Mishnah now, new Mishnah. So we had said previously that a shechiv mera who gives all of his nechasim away as a matana, and then he has a refor shalema, the whole matana is batel, because he only gave it because he thought he was going to die. And if he doesn't die, then there's no matana. So what if we're not sure if he was a shchiv mirah when he gave this matana? So lo kasav ba, he didn't write in the shtar shchiv mirah, that he was a shchiv mirah. Hu omer shchiv mirah hiisi. He says, now he's saying, that now that he's better and he's feeling good, he says, by the way, when I wrote this shtar, I was a shchiv mirah. When I gave this matana, I was a shchiv mirah. I just didn't write it down that I was a shchiv mirah, but I was, and therefore I'm entitled to get everything back. Vehein omrim, and the recipients say, Bari Yahisa, you weren't a shchiv mirah, you were perfectly healthy, it's a matnas bari, and therefore it's a permanent matana, it belongs to us, you cannot get it back. So tzarek lavi raya, sheshchiv mirah hoya. It's up to the no saint to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mirah, and if he doesn't, it belongs to the mekabli matana, because right now he's healthy, so it's mistaber that he was healthy at the time of the nesina as well. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that is Rabbi Meir Shita. V'chamom remotzi mechavero alav harayin. V'cham say that the mekabli matana wants wants to be motzi this mamon from the chazak, from its original chazak of having belonged to this fellow, so you're going to have to bring a raya that you get to keep it. And we'll see in the Gemara in tomorrow's daf what the nekudas hamachlokas is. Now, because he didn't write that he was a shkivra, that makes a difference. So apparently, yes, apparently it was the derech in all shtari matana of a shkivra that it would say explicitly that he was a shkivra, that he was sick and that he was dying. And apparently, in every shtar matnas bari, it would say explicitly that he was perfectly healthy as he was writing the shtar. So either way, you would have an indication in the shtar in one direction or the other. So when you have zero indication, that's what leaves us with the suffix. Meaning, if a stam shtar would be a shtar bari, and you have to write shchivmira, so then the fact that it's not written in the shtar would be an indication that it's a shtar of a bari. No, but apparently there was no such thing as a stam shtar. They would either write bari or shchivmira, and in this case, he wrote neither. So since he wrote neither, we don't know what it is. And obviously the case is giving kol nechasav, so therefore it's eligible to perhaps be a matna shchivmira. If it was not kol nechasav, it wouldn't be a matna shchivmira. But the Rishonim raised the question, mimanavshach, if he was makna to them with only dibor, without a kinyan, how could they taina that they're kona the matana at all? A bari is not able to be kona with only dibor alone. Right, meaning, and if it says in the shtar that they did a kinyan, so Rav's shita that we had in yesterday's daf was that a matna shchiv mira with a kinyan is never going to be batal, even if he gets better, has a din of a matnas bari. So mimanav shach, either there was a kinyan or there was not a kinyan. So meaning the mishnah is only focused on that the shtar left out whether he was a shchiv mira of bari. But what did the shtar say? Did the shtar say there was a kinyan or did the shtar say there was no kinyan? If the shtar said there was no kinyan, then obviously it was a matna shchiv mira, and therefore he obviously gets it back, because they're going to claim it was a matnas bari. There's no matnas bari if there's no kinyan. And if the shtar said that there was a kinyan, then it can't be a matna shchiv mira, because according to Shitas Rav, once you do a kinyan on a matna shchiv mira, it ceases to be a matna shchiv mira, becomes a matnas bari. So Rabbi Yona suggests that we're talking about a shtar that did not describe what the kinyan was what made the kinyan. So the no saint tainas that the guy was a shkivimra and the kinyan was with Dibor alone, Divra Shkivimra Kiksuvna Kumsurin Dami. Whereas the Makabal tainas, no, you were a bari and there was a real kinyan. We did a kinyan sudor, we did some sort of actual kinyan. The Ritva suggests that it says in the Shad that they made a kinyan, but the no saint tainas that at the time of the Matana, he was Mitzava Machnas Misa. And remember, that was one of the exceptions, that even though if you make a kinyan, it turns into Matnas Bari, but if it's Mitzava Machmas Misa, if you say explicitly they're doing it Machmas Misa, where it's very clear that you're only doing it Machmas Misa, it goes back to being a Matna Shchiv Mira. So you have to make some sort of a kimta in the Mishnah in terms of what exactly is happening. But be that as it may, the Mishnah talks about a case where we're not sure if it was a Matnas Bari or a Matna Shchiv Mira, Machlokas Tanoim, what the halacha is. So now, by a shtar raya that you write for a matna shchiv mira after he dies, they would typically write that he gave these nechasim when he was ill and he was on his deathbed, and because of his illness, ultimately he died of this illness. And they would do that in order to let it be known that not only did this transaction happen while he was sick, but that he didn't get better in between. Because if he got better in between, then the transaction would be canceled, and then you could ignore everything it says over here. So they would write a shtar afterwards that said, yeah, this transaction happened while he was ill, he remained ill, and he died of the illness. So now the Gemara brings a case where we also have a suffix. Ha'umatanta, there was a shtar matna shkiv mira. Davakasav ba, it said in the shtar, kadavakotzir v'rami ba'arisei. When this person was ill, and he was on his deathbed, he gave all of his nechasim as a matana to this fellow. Velo kasavba umigo mare iftar lebeis alame. But they forgot to add that line, or they didn't add that line, that as a result of this illness, he died. Even though we know that now he's dead, but we don't know, because they didn't add that line, we don't know if he died from this illness or if he got better sometime in between. So now we have a suffix. Is this the matana have a din of meaning, is it, do we, should we assume assume that he got better in between, in which case the matana is cancelled, or do we assume that he didn't get better in between, in which case the matana is still binding? So it's a little bit of a different suffix than the suffix in the Mishnah. Suffix in the Mishnah was it a matna shchivmera or a matna zbari? Over here we know it was a matna shchivmera. We just don't know if it ever, you know, if it ever was chal, because if he got healthy in between, then it's never going to be chal. So what's the halacha? So Amar Rabba, Rabba says that we assume that he died of that illness. He's dead now. Hare meis. He's dead right now. Very kivra mechiyachalav. He's dead and buried. So isn't that a great raya that he didn't get better? If he got better, why is he dead? So meaning is a fancy way of saying chazaka da'ashta, that right now he's dead, and therefore we could assume that he died of this illness. How does that work as a chazaka? Right now he's dead, and therefore we could assume he was always dead. He definitely wasn't always dead. We remember he was once alive. So what kind of chazaka is that? So that's what the Binas Adam explains in Shar Rov Chazaka, that the chazaka works as follows, that we say that that since right now he's dead, it's mistaber that he was ill before his death, and that's the chazaka. That people die of illness, so since a moment before he died he must have been ill, so that's the chazaka we carry backwards. Not the chazaka that he's dead, because he wasn't always dead, but we assume that he was ill for as long as he could have possibly been ill. That tekufa went all the way back to the time that we remember him being sick, when he actually did this transaction and he didn't have any moment of health in between. Now, l'chora, we could have said a chazaka de meikara, that since we knew that he was a chola at the time of the matana, so why are we saying chazaka da ashta? That since he's dead now, he must have been ill right before he died, and therefore we could assume he was ill few days before that as well. Why not just look at the last thing we knew? Last thing we knew was he was sick when he gave this matana. So that's a chazaka de meikara, and say what was continued, and therefore it continued up until the time of his death. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes that you can't say chazaka d'meikara because rov chalim l'chayim. This is what we call a chazaka asuya l'shtanos. Chazaka d'meikara is a chazaka that if something was, we assume it stayed that way. But when we know that it always changes, that it's the kind of thing that doesn't stay that way typically, so then we don't. It's a very weak chazaka to say chazaka d'meikara. And since rov chalim l'chayim, most people who are ill do recuperate, so therefore the chazaka de meikara doesn't work, and that's why Rabbi emphasizes the chazaka de hashta, that the current situation is what we carry backwards. Armelei Abayi says to Rabbi, Rova the cholim get better, so it's mistaver this guy got better from his illness as well, and then afterwards he died. And the raya is hashta umasvina sheruban le'aved. If you have a boat that sinks in the sea, two references to boat sinking today, right? One was the curse against Rabbi. Now you have a boat that sinks in the sea, that most of the people that are there, we assume, are dead, right? If a ship capsized at sea, and nevertheless, in Gittin Daf Chav Ches, the Mishnah tells us that we do not assume that a husband that was on that boat is definitely dead. No salim chumre chayim chumre mesim, or machmir misafik to consider the chumras of both, that he might be alive and that he might be dead. The chumra that he might be alive is that if he's a Yisrael and his wife is a Bas Kohen, so if the husband died, she doesn't have any children, she's allowed to go back and eat her father's truma. So we have to be choshesh that the husband's alive, and therefore she's not allowed to eat truma. The Rashbam points out, and the chumra to be choshesh that he's dead is if she's a Bas Yisrael and she's married to a Kohen, where she's allowed to eat truma as long as her husband's alive. So misafik, we have to assume the husband might be dead, and therefore she's back to being a Bas Yisrael and she's no longer allowed to eat truma. So we give both chumras. Cholin, Rov Cholin L'Chaim L'Kolshkein. So if that's true of a ship that capsizes, where everyone dies, so when it comes to an illness where most people live, most people survive illnesses, all the more so we should not come to the definitive conclusion that the fellow died of his original illness. It's more mistaver that he got better, and the matan was batel, and after some time he died from some other illness that happened afterwards. So that's the kal v'chomer that Abaye wants to suggest. So the Rishonim point out it's a very shvera kal v'chomer, meaning what's he saying? Rabba said his din in a case where we know the guy died in the end. He's dead right now. So now the chazaka d'ashta, we say that he probably died of the original illness. The mission of the Svina is, we know nothing right now. The ship capsized. So you can say, oh, look, we're still having sveikos, but we're not relying on any... Because we don't know anything. But in this case, we know that the guy is dead. So how do you compare? It's apples and oranges. So Tosfos suggests that the svara of Abayi was that since by the boat that capsizes, most people die. It's as if it's yodua about each person that he died. And if we'd be somich on chazaka d'ashta, we'd have to assume that he's vaday dead at this point. Meaning it's such a vaday when it's such a common thing when a boat capsizes that you have to assume that he has a chazaka that he's dead, and yet we still don't follow that chazaka. Okay, so the Gemara says, you know what? This machlokas between Abaye and Rabba about whether you follow the chazaka d'ashta is an old machlokas tanaim. Amr Rav Huna b'Rav Yehoshua k'man az l'hashmaita d'Rabba. Which tana is Rabba following when he says that you go with the chazaka d'ashta? K'Rabbi Nassim. He's following the sheet of Rabbi Nassim. D'tanya, because we have a brisa in the case of like we had in our Mishnah that you have a shtar matana that didn't indicate whether the guy was a bari or a shchiv mira at the time of the matana. The nosin says I was a shchiv mira, and therefore as soon as I got better, the matana is cancelled. And the makablim say no, you were a bari, and therefore the matana is still ours. Me motzi mi on me. Who's going to win? So the tana says who motzi mi yadayim. The nosin gets it back from the makablim below raya. He does not need to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mira because he was the original muchsak in those nechassim. So the Mekablim can't take it away from him. Even though right now he's a Bari, we don't assume that at the time of the Matani he was a Bari as well. So that's like Abaye, that we're not following Chazaka D'Ashta. I mean, in the case of our Mishnah, the guy's healthy right now. So just because he's healthy right now, we do not assume that he was healthy at the time of the Nesinus and Matana. The Hain Ein Mutzian Miyado El Baraya, the Mekabli Matana, they want to get those nechassim. Well, then they better bring a Raya. They better bring Edim that are Meir that he was a Bari at the time of the Matana. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, that's Rabbi Yaakov's Shita. But Rabbi Nassim Omer, Im Bari Hu. Rabbi Nassim says, look at him right now. If he's a Bari, if he's healthy right now, he has a Chazaka Dahashta. And therefore, he must have been a Bari at the time of the Nesina as well. If he was a Bari at the time of the Nesina, then he loses because this was a real Matana. So, love Lahavi Raya, Shay Shchivmira. He wants to say that he was a Shchivmira. Bring a Raya that you were a Shchivmira. And Im Shchivmira Hu. And if he's very ill right now, Alein Lahavi Raya Shabari Haya. We follow Chazaka Dahashta. They're going to have to bring a Raya that he was a Bari. So the sheet of Rabbi Nassan and of Rabba is that we follow the Chazaka d'Ashta, apparently even the Hotzi Mamon, right? Even when there's no other Chazaka that's Misayeya, the Chazaka d'Ashta. That if that we look at what he is right now, and that's it, and that's going to be everything. That if he's a Bari right now, so we're going to be Motzi Mamon from him, al smach, that he was a Bari at the time of the Nesinas Matana, which is an amazing thing. That's the Machla. Meaning everyone agrees Chazaka d'Ashta means something. It's some level of indicator. Question is, how strong of an indicator is? That's what the Ritva points out. That the whole Nekudas HaMachlokas is it enough of an indicator to be Motzi Mamon from another person? So that seems to be the Machlokas. Rabbi Yonah raises a question that in Maseches Nida, Dav Beis, the Mishnah talks about a woman who sees Dam, that we don't assume Chazaka d'Ashta that she was Tameh for a long, long time period before that. L'chora, why not follow Chazaka d'Ashta? So he says, no, by a woman you don't go basa chazaka d'ashta because nega that you have a chazaka de meikara that she was b'cheskas tara. But over here, the chazaka d'ashta that he's a bari is just telling him, only needs to go back to the time of the matana. So it tells us that he was a bari then, and he's shimra. It only needs to go back to that amount of time that he was shchiv mira then, and we don't have a chazaka demei kara to go against that. Okay, so that is the machlokas whether we follow chazaka d'ashta. Says the Gemara, there's another application of this machlokas. Amar blazer ulatuma when it comes to safik tuma kimachlokas. The din is going to be totally in the same machlokas from Yaakov and Rabbi Nassim whether we follow chazaka d'ashta. Ditnan, because we have a mishnah. That bika, let's say you have a large area of land, a bunch of fields next to each other, and you put a fence around all of those fields. Bimos hachama during the time of during the summertime when they've they've already harvested the fields and they took out all the grain from the fields, so it's just big empty fields. Rosh Hashayach l'Shabbos, it's also in Rosh Hashayach l'Shabbos because it's mukaf mechitzos, it's surrounded by walls, so that is in Rosh Hashayach. But Rosh Hashram l'tuma, but as in Rosh Hashram when it comes to tuma, because people can walk through there, the Bailim don't care. So as long as people are allowed to walk through, it has a din of Rosh Hashram l'gabi safik tuma, right? Safik tuma Rosh Hashram is tar. B'mosek sham, but during the rainy season, where the stuff is growing and the Bailim will never let people walk through those fields, then Rosh Hashayach l'kan l'kad, then it's Rosh Hashayach for tuma as well. So Machlok Rabbi Yaakov Rav Nosson is going to be, if a person goes into such a bika in a safik tuma situation, and he doesn't remember whether it was wintertime or summertime. So we say, so if he's going to ask during the summertime, we say that probably he went in during the summertime, Sveikotar. If it was going to be during the wintertime, we'll say Sveikotame. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov is going to say, Chazakatashta is not machriya anything. Rabbi Nosson will say, Chazakatashta, that when you're asking the Shaila, is it winter or summer? And that's going to determine the whole case that we follow Chazakatashta. And Rabbi Nosson is going to say, Rabbi Yaakov rather is going to say, I don't care about Chazakatashta. Chazakatashta is not machriya anything. So I'm a Rava lo shanu ela shlo avru ela yimosa gishamim. This whole discussion, this Mishnah that a bika b'yimosa cham has a din of Rosh Hashanah rabim l'tumah is only if it never had a winter season. Avru avru ela yimosa gishamim, but if it once had a winter season where it was already surrounded by fences, since at that time it for sure had a status of Rosh Hashayachid, the shame Rosh Hashayachid does not leave it, even during the summertime, it remains Rosh Hashayachid l'kan l'kan, both l'gabi hilcho Shabbos and l'gabi hilchos tumah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots on the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful day.